Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. Mama. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yes, Councillor Lescu.
Look, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with it, just in regards to that with employees. But if the employee in question is happy for it, that's fine. Obviously, they. But I don't think that's something we should be forcing people. And obviously, it's not something that other staff in the organisation would be subject to. But I guess it's something different. This sort of level of transparency. So, especially having sat on the previous CEO committee in the end of the last term.
And there might be a distinction to be made too between KPIs, that's one thing, and then performance assessment, which is another thing, and might be considered warranted for confidential, or might be better served by confidentiality. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, until those points are actually clarified, can I move a deferment on this item, please?
Yep, so that it lie on the table until the next meeting? No, can't do that. I'm getting people waving at me. Oh, sorry, that it's deferred to the next, adjourned to the next meeting, sorry. My fault. Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry, thank you. It's a procedural motion, is it not? So I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. No, it's not carried unanimously. It's carried by majority. Thank you. Sorry, I thought it might have been a delayed reaction. Right, we'll move on to the phone tower Kellett Reserve issue. Section 270 review. Councillor Byram. Yes, please.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm not sure whether I have a conflict of interest and I needed to ask a question on that.
Please do.
My son now works for the one of the companies that would have had a site for the phone tower on it, and I'm not sure if that creates a conflict of interest and whether I should exclude myself.
Well, I must say, it looks to me like the Section 270 review is an examination of administration's conduct in the matter rather than the merits of the issue, but I'm happy to refer that to the governance manager, Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, yes, the mayor is correct in that the section 270 has looked at the process applied and the decision making that was made at a council level and the process leading up to that. So in the event that the review is not recommending any change to the decision, I think the conflict wouldn't exist.
Very well. Anyone ready to move a motion? Councillor Crossland. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard. Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak to that?
No, thank you.
Councillor Gard, anything further? Any other speakers? Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, I'll be speaking against this finding. I, as an elected member, have serious concerns about this venture. It actually has the potential to debase the council going forward with our assessments of phone towers right across the city. Because the message is, if you can actually offer this council a sum of money, we can be bought off. We can be bought off with a sum of money to
Can I raise a point of order, please?
Point of order, Councillor Crossland.
I'm sorry, but Councillor Hull
his comments are nothing to do with the 270 review process. He's going back to the actual original decision.
Actually, I thought it was going to be another point of order, because I think you're, Councillor Hull, you're getting into dangerous territory when you talk about the council being bought off. You might need to make that clear. That's not intended to be a slight upon elected members. In relation to the debate, can you just make it clear how your comments are tied to the recommendations of the review itself rather than the original merits?
Sure. Well, there was certainly no intent to cast aspersion on any particular councillor. It's my reflection of community perception of the council's behaviour. Okay. What I will say is that in terms of the review, I'm concerned that it actually didn't go into the complexities of what we were told as a council, and meant some of us, not all of us, I didn't, put their hand up to go ahead with this process on the basis that the club had the capacity to meet their financial obligations to go along with this phone tower. That's not in this report, right? It's since come to light that there may be diminished capacity of the club to actually meet its obligations when they came here as a delegation and addressed us. And I'm pretty crooked on that, because I feel misled. And I would actually have that as an enduring issue with this phone tower, that the club come here cap in hand saying, well, please go along with this phone tower because we'll put money into this, you put money into it, and we can make it happen. Apparently, according to the residents, may not be a true reflection of the circumstances.
Councillor Vlescu.
Look, I've had some dealings with various sections of the club, people involved with football, people involved with netball, people involved with cricket. Councillor Hull would be aware that there's a variety of capabilities and time issues with people involved in sports clubs throughout the city of Marion. I think that's something to be aware of. This is just about that process, and I'll get back to that. I think that the learning from this is that if we are going to make it, we've got a situation where we can have an impact to minimise the negative outcomes of a decision, which effectively we can't stop, that we look at it strategically. So we set back and say, okay, this is the process we need to do. These are the time frames. This is how we're going to do it. I think we probably did cause a bit of unnecessary angst because residents just heard about it through the DAP. If we'd been able to give that information up front, planned it all, the process would have been a lot quicker and would have reduced the angst as well. And I think the fact that we weren't pretty much on the front foot as far as how we got that information out there, as the report says, perhaps wasn't an easy ride for people involved. But ultimately, I think we prolonged the process and we did a fair bit, and we canvassed various opinions, and I feel comfortable with that process. People may not be comfortable with the outcome, but I think this review would have come either way. So if the decision was not to have it at Kellett Reserve, we probably would have had a review, because it's a decision which we have to realise not everyone's going to be happy with.
I believe Councillor Vlescu is the council liaison member on that committee, on that club committee. Is that correct?
Well, can that be confirmed?
I'm yet to go to a meeting, so, because they have them on Tuesday nights. So I don't know what Councillor Hull is asking or is implying.
Yes or no would be good.
Order, Councillor Hull. It's not for you to interrogate from across the chamber. Equally, it's not an unrelated question, so Councillor Vlescu.
I'm the contact person.
Hold it, please. You're the liaison officer for which club exactly?
Sports club. Yep.
Well,
the question, yes? The question I was going to ask related to that is that did our representative on that club avail council to the real circumstances of that club as soon as he became aware of it? If not, how long did he take to advise council?
Councillor Hull, I think this is getting beyond the scope of the 270 review.
Okay.
It's, you might want to take it up some other way, but it's beyond the scope of the process examination of, essentially, of administration procedures. So, any further speakers? Councillor Gard.
Yes, with all due respect to Councillor Hull's feelings on the matter, and I do understand where he's coming from, I think it's important, as seconder for the motion, to underline that we did take, we went through due process, we took into account, as Councillor Bilescu has indicated, that there was not a lot of room to move because of the nature of the Telstra requirements and all of the legislation, etc., that goes with it. There was certainly a lot of connection with the public, which I think supports the 270 motion. I also feel that there are, from the point of view of the spirit of the council's decision, and I remember speaking on this aspect myself, that there are a number of ways, but particularly the streetscaping way, that the outcome of this decision can be moderated for the residents immediately surrounding that oval. And I stand with my original claim that I feel that there is the potential for their properties to increase in value rather than the reverse if those steps are taken.
Any further speakers? Well, yes, that would be your third one and final.
The recommendation notes in the report and confirms the recommendations. Now, this is what I was getting at, that by voting on this, we're actually confirming the recommendations. So I hope you take my point, Mr. Mayor. Me raising points about the validity of where we're going with this is quite reasonable, or it was, because I can't speak to it now.
Well, I fail to see the question in that contribution. I mean, obviously, the motion is to adopt the recommendations of the report, so that's what we would be doing if we vote in the affirmative. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Division is called. All those in favour, please stand in your place. Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Telfer, Hutchinson, Westwood, Byram, Valescu, Gard and Crossland. It's all right, just remain standing for a moment. All those against are Councillor Pryor and Councillor Hull. You may be seated. Thank you for that. That's all. You've got all that?
Yep.
Right. We go on to page 125 of the agenda, Capella Drive Reserve. I just note for members that this is very much a status report and probably not calling on us to get into all of the debate. The report only comes to us because we made a decision. We said we want to report back by a certain time. When a full report is not ready yet, so the recommendation is that we get the full and further report after the development process, after the development approval process has been completed. So I'll ask for someone to move accordingly. Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak?
I'll just speak briefly. This is something which has been monitored by the Southern Ward councillors. Unfortunately, through circumstances out of the control of staff, the information that we've requested from external parties hasn't been provided in a timely manner. So therefore the extension of time is completely justified.
Ingrid? Councillor Gard, did you wish to speak? Any further speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Page 127. I know that a lot of people wanted the former Mitsubishi site to be called Hannah Park, but I have to say that Tonsley has a lot of historic significance for a lot of people in the community, so I think this is a splendid motion. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to say that we have been talking about this for some time, and
you're moving as printed, I take it.
Yes, I am. And it's something that I think will shed a new light into the community, and certainly put Tonsley at the forefront.
Councillor Telfer.
I'm very pleased that the southern portion of Clough Valley Park has been included in this area, because it is a natural synergy and makes sense of the railway station being called Tonsley, so we don't need to rename the railway station. There will be some difficulty for some people having to change their suburb name for letters and things like that, a personal change, but it's going to be worth it to have that whole piece of land looked at as an integral whole.
Councillor Telfer was seconding the motion. Any further speakers? Councillor Hull?
That if it was to be called Hannah Park, it would, it's a contaminated site. So,
a lot of people would find that association fitting, actually. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We turn to page 131 of the agenda, the Asset Management Plan. Once again, our exhaustive consultation processes have reaped rewards. Who would like to move accordingly? Seconded. Councillor Byram. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak?
Yes. In looking at the plan, there were a few things that I noticed. One was that there are lots of graphs that have extreme peaks in them, and I've chased that a bit, and I understand that the writing under it that explains an average over 10 years or 20 years explains that that one peak is going to be covered over the longer term, so that was justifiable. The other thing that concerned me in the plan was that there were an awful lot of things in the plan listed for 2015-16 and just all messed up. I guess they were unfinished business. I hope they can be achieved, that we're not creating more pressure that's undue by putting everything in the 2015-16 basket. But we go with what we've been presented because it is a substantial plan, and we hope with disposals that we can lower some of the levels of our assets and also lower depreciation levels.
Well, this is a council that's resolving unfinished business. Now, is that seconded? Councillor Byram, it was Councillor Byram who seconded the motion. Did you wish to speak? Any further contributions? Councillor Valescu?
Just got a question, and it's in regards to information Council was given a couple of years ago in regards to the walkway. It's going to cost like $10 million or something like that. Yeah, the trail. So I believe at that point it wasn't fully funded. Is that now fully funded, or is there a change in what's actually required? Just some general information about
who
that.
Who would like to? Mr. Mifsud will give some advice.
Through the chair, to answer your question, councillor, there's two components. There's the renewal, which is a large figure that you're referring to, and then there's the ongoing maintenance to ensure that it's safe, et cetera, et cetera. And funding for that ongoing maintenance was incorporated with the long-term financial plan about 2 years ago. I can't recall the exact amount off the top of my head, but it was in the order of $140,000 per year for the maintenance. But I don't have the information at my fingertips in regards to the renewal side of things. I'm not sure if Abby may have that information.
Through the chair, my understanding, and was
we can seek further clarification on this is the actual renewal is not included, so the maintenance costs are, so we're maintaining it in a safe working order, but that's something that we'll need to work through and links in with the comments from the Audit Committee in terms of this plan. It's a starting point. It will be a living document that will be reviewed annually and updated, and things like that will need to be brought to for Council's consideration.
I guess that's something that it's been flagged before. And I guess a comment is everything that has been flagged before, can we look at that already? And we may find that, you know, it may change every year, but we need to know what those gaps are because they're coming up on other things, and we need to know because obviously we don't want the walking trail to fall apart. So if we are going to renew it, we have to start. Thank you.
Yes, Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, just to clarify and just to pick up on Councillor Valescu's point, can staff confirm that the walking trail is already broken and under the current terms of reference, the maintenance budget will not be fixing it? So the section from Hallett Cove foreshore to the headland currently has no walking trail. It's already broken.
Well, just to clarify that, I mean, I have walked it. There's a trail. It's just not with nice wooden planks and handrails, that's all. But yes, certainly, having walked over the summer between Port Stanback and Brighton Jetty and compared the state of the trail of the three councils, Marion does stand out.
Can you just clarify what was the trail that you walked on? Because it's not very visible.
Right along as close to the cliff top as possible. As is my usual custom.
And over the rocks?
Over the rocks, yes. Not recommended for those bound to a wheelchair. Councillor Gard.
Yes, Your Worship, I have a few notes on this particular item, if you bear with me. The first one was regarding the walking trail, because I've been conscious, as has Councillor Crossland, that we are lagging as far as completion of the trail is concerned. If we really analyse the word completion, I think management acknowledges that, and it is a commitment of the state government with local government. The local government have certainly been thrown the responsibility for the works, but it is something that is a developing asset for the entire population of Adelaide. So I would certainly like to see strategically that brought into a three-year planning process. The second is that there's on page 140, where there's a listing of the main assets, the curbing asset or curb asset does interrelate with the streetscaping processes, and the streetscaping working party is gearing up as we speak to tackle that issue and hopefully change gear in the streetscaping process, and that has influence on curb as well. I'm a little bit sceptical about not mentioning streetscaping as an asset, but of course how do you claim it as an asset, because it's a collective noun in a sense. So I just would ask that members consider streetscaping when they think of curbing and foot paving, etc. On page 142, I was interested in the process, as it said that upgrades of assets are in future to council, what the recommendation to council process would be, because I would have thought that is something that could start as much at management level as at council level, depending on the nature of the beast. And on page 155, there's mention of inadequate asset management. That concerned me, and I wondered how management is addressing that factor. There's also mention of, on that same page, of Marion Mitchum Stormwater. And as I think members would remember, that's one of my favourite topics, given the weather patterns and the changing of the potential for 100-year storms.
Councillor Gard, your time is up. Are you near the end of your remarks?
Yes, I am.
Thank you,
Your Worship. So, question there was, could we have a progress report from time to time on those happenings in regard to stormwater management and mitigation? And finally, just a very short one, the bar charts further down, I think, the x-axis refers to year, and I think when we're referring to the various performances, it's financial year. And I just felt, for clarity, we ought to say, if it is indeed financial year, say financial year. It would be helpful. Yeah.
Can I ask Mr. Scull or Mr. Mifsud to respond to a couple of points which have been made?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, on the inadequate asset management, that was actually a risk, and the controls, if you go across the table, are at how we deal with that. And that's a review and a regular review. So this answers two of your points, Councillor, on that you've made before. But there needs to be a regular review, which is reported back against the asset management plan against all different classes. So were that risk, inadequate asset management, come to fruition, we would be in significant trouble because it takes up so much of our budget and creates risk. But I'm reasonably confident the organisation's got very good asset management systems in place, providing that the budget is sufficient to keep our assets of a usable quality.
Mr. Minister, did you wish to add anything?
Yes, just finally, through the Chair, in regards to your comment about the years, I totally concur. We need to make sure they're synchronised to clearly show that they're financial years, and therefore they reduce the risk of them being misinterpreted as calendar years, and we'll certainly be doing that in the next iteration.
Well, when would the next iteration be? Probably not for years.
Through the Chair, the next formal endorsement is required in sync with every council term, so every 4 years. But internally, administratively, we're reviewing all our documents on an ongoing annual basis.
Well, can't we adopt this asset management plan as attached in Appendix 1 with clarification about the... about whether reference to years means financial years?
Through the Chair, yes, we absolutely can do that for you.
So would you like to move that amendment, Councillor Gard? All right, thank you. Is that amendment seconded? Don't think you can. Did Councillor Crossland move? No. Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. Councillor Crossland seconded. Okay, just lost track of the debate there. Now I must vote on the... Councillor Appleby, I think I must vote on the amendment now, don't you think? Yes. All those in favour, raise your hand. No. All those against? That's carried by majority. Okay, I'm sorry. I need to clarify, I'm just... battling things behind the microphone here. I was advised it was acceptable for Councillor Crossland to second the motion. However, as I had suspected, he had already spoken and therefore he was not eligible to second the motion. So I was sort of six more tackles. We'll see if somebody else would like to second the motion. Councillor Pfeiffer. And staff are just clarifying the wording. Go at the end of the second clause. So clarification that the data provided is in financial years, not calendar, or not calendar years, shall we say? Right. Now, before we put the amendment to the vote, Councillor Hull has a question.
Naive question to anybody who cares to answer it. It may be in the report. I'd be surprised if it was, but in terms of all these projections, and on, say, 161, we've got unfunded, we've got next generation, and a whole series of up and down graphs in terms of expenditure. What is the predicated rate going forward that would actually suggest that we've got the capacity to fund all this?
Councillor Hull, that question, while it's not out of order, is certainly unhelpful because we're just about to vote on the amendment and you've set us off on a tangent. You could have waited for a few seconds, but now that you've asked it, it's a fair question. I'll ask Mr. Mifsud to address it.
Through the Chair, as members would be aware, the asset management plans inform the long-term financial plan. The long-term financial plan is established based on funding capacity and also resource capacity. So this is the ideal, if you like, but obviously Council's long-term financial plan is based on funding capacity and resource capacity in each year.
Mr. Mifsud, I think Councillor Hull was asking about the rate percentage.
The rate and the dollar,
that was built in as a factor. In other words,
how do we fund this?
In other words, is the funding that's depicted in the graphs reflective of the long-term financial plan most recently adopted, in other words, about 6 months ago? Or is it aspirational in some sense?
Through the Chair, once again, and I'll try and clarify, the asset management plans, the objective is to set out the ideal funding required to renew all of our existing assets to the ideal level. Whether or not that is at a level that we have the funding capacity in the long-term financial plan or not is a different matter. But that said, the vast majority of our existing infrastructure, buildings excepted, are effectively fully funded within the long-term financial plan.
Right, so it's got this document itself, asset management plan, has nothing to do with the rates debate, technically speaking. It will, of course, interact because as staff come up with a draft budget, they will say to get the things done in the asset management plan, we've got to have a certain amount of money, we've got to raise a certain amount of rates. So we'll have that impact, but it's not in this document. This document, if you like, is the ask. When we resolve the budgets, that will be the answer.
So the notion...
And Mr. Mifsud's nodding. Thank you. Now, where we were was voting on the amendment whereby we're clarifying we have financial years in this document, not calendar years. I'll put the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. That was an easy one. Are there any further contributions from people who haven't spoken? Otherwise, I'll put the motion. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So that takes us a little bit further through the agenda to the Castle Plaza Activity Centre Development Plan Amendment on page 199 of the agenda. Over to you. Anything to move?
I'll move that way, Your Worship.
Just ask if it is. Back to you, Councillor Hutchinson. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I think the changes that they've made are acceptable, and look, I honestly hope that we can move forward on this site finally.
Thank you. Councillor Telford, did you wish to speak?
Woods, so it just makes more sense grammatically. I am very pleased that this has come forward, that this has been developed. I know that the developer has great frustration at the slowness of the state government on environment protection sign-off. But I look forward also to not only the creation of new character for the locality with high-quality contemporary architecture styles at a greater density, scale and height, but also the opportunity to take up the history of the Edwardstown area, because there is a new road that is unnamed, and there is an opportunity to take up the history of this area being the Hills Pengelly site. There are a lot of nearby historical markers that would be useful. And I also am delighted, because having rung the person that's working on the development today, they are most happy to include any pictures, any historical material into areas that are appropriate. So it will be modern, but just as Chadstone and Broadmeadows, their developments have pictures at appropriate places, down corridors and other places. There will be chances for that history to be developed. I'm excited about that. I'm also very hopeful that Council will support public art. So, having spoken, I would also ask the question that does Council believe that it can, within this support appropriate historical public art?
Who will answer that? Mr. Hooper, public art specialist, please come forward.
Thank you, through the chair. Just to clarify, I'm not a public art specialist. However, it is an appropriate position to put when you come to actually doing the development application stage, and when we actually come to our assets, people working on the public realm and the road. So I think it's a combination of both council and the developer in working through what becomes public realm and what becomes in the control of the developer, ensuring there's an integrated public realm that includes public art as well as other things as well. So it's all about developing that amenity post DPA stage.
You've just got a couple of questions. The first one, actually they're both in the same area, which is the precinct specific provisions, and Councillor Hole probably wants to raise this as well about the EPA looking at this area. We've got two precincts, Precinct 12 and Precinct 13. 13 is limited residential. Would it hurt for us to have the same clause as 12 in 13? If you've got the document there, Mr. Hooper.
If you could, I assume you're talking page 212?
220.
220.
Yeah, of the meeting notes.
The preliminary recommendations of the audit report have not required the same treatment of residential development in Precinct 12 that they do in Precinct 13. So my advice would be that unless the audit report, when it's finalised, comes back to the effect of what you're suggesting, that it would probably be better to leave it as it is. Otherwise, we might actually impose requirements within Precinct 12 that, at the end of the day, are not considered necessary.
Within Precinct 13 that are not necessary, or within Precinct 12?
Within Precinct 12. So Precinct 13 has a more onerous requirement insofar it's actually prohibiting dwellings at ground level, whereas Precinct 12 at the moment is suggesting that provided that the site contamination audit report comes back with a green light, that you could have residential development at ground level. So if we change Precinct 12 to reflect Precinct 13, we could actually be doing a disservice to future property owners within Precinct 12.
Okay, thank you. You've just answered my second question. In Precinct 13, limited residential development, point A is a dwelling at ground level, not a dwelling a ground level, which makes things a little less confusing. Thank you.
I think Councillor Price identified a typo. So could that be, could we assume that the, if we pass that motion, that the DPA is adopted with that correction?
Yeah, through the chair, thank you for picking that up. It's one of those things that you read the way you, you know how you read something, the way you think it's supposed to be written, but it's actually not written that way. So, yeah, absolutely, we can make sure that's fixed.
Spell checkers. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to talk about process with this. Now, I was one of the panel members on this for the submission to the government. There was three of us, I think, three or four of us on that panel. I'm flicking through this and I can see numerous items cut out completely. For example, almost any provisions for bicycles is gone, cut out. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like bicycles, this is not a bicycle-friendly area, yet it's going to be part of the greenway. It's going to be alongside the greenway. So, and there's numerous other items struck out. Now, I just wonder, Mr. Mayor, in terms of process, how that could happen where we have a hearing, a community hearing, a panel.
Is that the sort of thing you're concerned about?
Well, this is, well, it's very diluted compared to the amount of written stuff about bicycles further on in the report. It seems to be a lot of convenient downsizing of what was expected.
Right. Well,
I've never seen a report that's so much crossed out.
I'm happy to come back to you with further question, but just on what you've said so far, Mr. Hooper, could you respond, please?
Sure. I think the first point of clarification is that the DPA that you have before you is what has come back from the department in terms of their reviewing it. So what they've actually done, it was a long time ago that the DPA was endorsed by council, and in the interim there's been a number of DPAs that have been gazetted that have changed the Marion Development Plan. Most pertinently, the most relevant change is the Tonsley site, which has introduced a lot of standard policy procedures. So everything that you see crossed out, with one exception, has been crossed out because it's replicating policy that's already in the development plan. So we've actually gone through every single change. It came back with balloons, little balloons, comments next to it in terms of the track changes that actually indicated why things were crossed out. But it's effectively to avoid replication. The one exception is that there's provisions in the policy that were proposed by the council which dealt with landmark sites, and the state government has indicated that they're not prepared to support that at the moment because given that they don't know where South Road is going to finish up in front of that, they didn't want something being put in the development plan to deal with landmark sites at this point in time. But everything else is replicated elsewhere.
Councillor Pryor sort of intimated I'd bring this up, but it's the contaminated site. Now, how much fill was going to be put over that site? Things change, as you say. Like last time it was 500 mils. How much fill going right over the site?
I'd have to take that question on notice, sorry.
What I'm getting at is that is our council department totally at ease with what's being proposed, where they're just going to cover the site over and pretend that it didn't happen. And what worries me is in the future when Families want to dig a trench to put a gas line through. Guess what? They're going to be actually digging through that soil just below the surface. So are there any provisions to actually make sure that people don't have misadventure by digging up contaminated land when they think that they've got this nice clean soil on top?
Mr. Hooper.
And just to clarify, so it is being checked by an accredited auditor. Now, the accredited auditor has almost finalised the report. A lot of the actual hotspots of the site, the contamination has been removed. So the main ongoing contamination is the groundwater and the issue of vapours. And that's why the provisions that you've got in Limited Policy Area 13 actually are discouraging the basements and the ground level. So it's not the soil per se. It's not going to be people digging trenches in contaminated soil. It's the vapour issue that they're trying to overcome, and that's why the audit report is taking so long.
Is there going to, if you don't mind, Mr. Mayor, is there going to be those membranes underneath those buildings as proposed at Clare Valley Park to prevent those vapours actually inadvertently entering people's homes into the future? You know, are we going to get this right, knowing what we know, and the technology that we have to actually deal with it?
Well, that's why we have the provisions that actually require in the environment audit area that a site contamination audit report is prepared and agreed to by the EPA before any development applications are pursued. So Council's not the expert in that area. We're relying on the EPA, and those provisions are best practice that have been recommended by the EPA.
Hooper, the Council's been using certified inspectors to actually inspect plans and that in this Council. Your department's had concerns about those certified assessors. Could you see my angle that I have my concerns about certified environmental assessors for the very same reason?
I understand your concerns, and I think that's why we have to put our hands... We have to rely on the expertise of the EPA in terms of addressing that issue, because we don't have the expertise within Council. So by having the provisions in the development plan that actually require the relevant authority to look at that issue, it's really the best we can do if we're going to actually get this site developed.
Well, there were other contributions. Councillor Blescu?
The Hooper can clarify the difference between the private certifiers that I too have some concerns about, and also the environmental auditors that would be used in issues like this, to the best of his knowledge.
Through the chair. So private certifiers, the language, when you say the language of a private certifier, I immediately assume you're talking about building certifiers or planning certifiers, of which there are dozens, if not hundreds, who are assessing development applications and making decisions on development applications. That's a very different level of rigour compared to site-accredited auditors who have to be registered with the EPA. From my understanding, and I'm not an expert in the field, but they are limited to very, very few. Most of them come from Victoria to meet very high standards, and their work that they do is scrutinised in high-level detail by the EPA before it can actually be signed off. And they also wear a lot of risk, because if they actually were to approve a site and there wasn't that level of rigour there, then, in effect, the ramifications are quite substantial, whereas a building certifier not approving something that's 700 millimetres from the boundary when it should be 1 metre, I don't think they're going to lose too much sleep over that. So that's I think you're comparing two completely different levels of expertise.
Further contributions? Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just very briefly, through Your Worship, to management, carrying on from my point was pretty much overlapping Councillor Hull's in relation to the changes by government to the plan. In the conclusion on page 202, certainly there is reference to the factor of duplication, but I was just wondering with a motion as far-reaching as this on a matter as important as this, could there in future be a little bit more qualification of the changes being made, which is the central issue after all of the motion, so that our minds can at least be at rest that management is satisfied, there's no issues, and we can sort of get more of a gist of the spirit of the changes. That would be very helpful.
Mr. Hooper?
Yeah, through the chair. Sure, no problem at all. You can rest assured that staff have gone through all the changes that Diptai have suggested. It's extremely common for development plan amendments to be changed and changed relatively substantially. In this instance, at least they've come back to council to check on that, but they don't necessarily have to. At the final stage, they can do that. But certainly with future development plan amendments, I mean, the most recent one will probably be Seacliff Park, it would be pertinent to come back and we can actually provide you with a table where we can provide clarity as to why certain things have been either removed or added.
Thank you, Mr. Hooper. I think that would be very helpful, especially with this council, which is inquisitive and wants to know what's going on with these things. Councillor Pryor, you had another question or contribution?
Contribution.
You only had questions before. Okay.
Just very quickly, when we first put this DPA up, I believe we put a caveat on there that it came back with an approval from the EPA. So I don't see why we should have the same debate about contamination. I mean, the EPA obviously thinks it's okay to go forward with this. Otherwise, we wouldn't be getting this back again. So,
Mr. Hooper, can you clarify that? What was the condition or the way in which council expressed its concern last resolution?
Through the chair, so we're not at the stage where the site has been confirmed as suitable for the DPA to proceed. So we're effectively at exactly the same stage that we were at last time, other than Department of Planning, Transport and Infrastructure has undertaken their revisions. But the council requested last time, and it's consistent with the recommendation here, that the EPA report actually come back to us for council tonight. So that hasn't happened as yet. So effectively, the sentiment shared by the council last time are reflected in this recommendation.
Right. So we're not at that stage where the condition has been triggered, if you like. We're not giving our final yes.
Yeah, correct. So we essentially have a safety net here anyway.
We still have one more safety net decision to make, don't we, Mr. Hooper?
Assuming that when the EPA report comes in, that the Minister actually allows us to review it again, then yes. But they're under no obligation to do so.
So, Mr. Hooper, do you mean that if this is submitted to the Minister, if we approve the motion as printed, then whatever the environmental audit report might be, the Minister can approve it without us doing anything further?
Through the Chair, potentially yes. The Minister isn't under an obligation to bring it back to the Council. It is their DPA to approve, but I would have thought as a matter of good courtesy, given our recommendation, that the EPA report would come to Council and we'll be able to report it back. And certainly we can make that request very clear with the Department.
Very well. I think we're ready to put it to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we turn to page 246 of the agenda, the Risk Management Policy and Framework Review. I do note with this one that there's been a fair amount of revision to the policy that you can see that starts on page 249. The definition of risk has been altered to include a reference to damage or injury, etc., whereas it previously said the effect of uncertainty on objectives, and you know that I had a great difficulty with that. It may not be the best definition now, but it's sort of a compromise. But you see if it makes sense to you. Anyway, over to you. Questions? Councillor Hull refers to our biophilic council. We haven't formally changed any of our plans, so we are still a biophilic council. I guess if risk means uncertainty, then that's an extremely risky term. Looking for someone to move a motion. Councillor Pfeiffer, moving as printed. Read your mind. Councillor Telfer, seconded. Any contributions? All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. It's good to know that we now don't have an appetite for risk, we have a tolerance of risk. If you get my drift. Page 273, the recruitment and appointment of expert members to Section 41 committees. This is exciting because this is the invitation to certain experts that your subcommittee identified. And what I suggest is, because we only interviewed one of the expert members tonight, that we deal with the People and Culture Committee, the Strategy Committee and the Infrastructure Committee as one motion, and then we'll get to the Urban Planning Committee and just deal with that separately, because you won't have as much information before you in respect of that. The recommendation of the panel members is that the appointment in each case be for 1 year. It's almost a matter of try before you buy. In other words, we'll see if how they get on with us, we'll see how we get on with them, and we can review the situation. Since these are new committees with a slightly different culture, it's probably appropriate that we pick a modest sort of term like that. So I'm after someone to move in, at least in terms of paragraphs 1, 2, recommendations 1, 2 and 3. Councillor Hull, if you like. We're talking about until January 2017. 12 months is 12 months, so. I'm asking staff if we need a precise date, or 31st day of January. I've heard the call from Councillor Hull. Very good. So is that seconded? That is seconded by Councillor Hutchinson. I'll ask Councillor Hull if you wish to speak to the motion. Councillor Hutchinson.
Oh, look, just to say that we're very lucky to have three exceptional candidates, and I'm sure we're going to make very good use of their time.
Thank you. If there's no one speaking against, I'll put that motion. All those in favour. Oh, sorry, there was a question. I beg your pardon. I haven't put it yet.
Just a point of correction on page 277, where we have schedule of meeting of committee meetings. The strategic committee is being referred to as the strategy committee is being referred to as strategic issue, which is a bit misleading. If we could just have correction there.
The the vote we're taking at the moment doesn't specifically refer to that.
Okay.
I'm leaving that that motion to one side for the moment, yep. But it's a good point, so we'll get to that in a sec. I'm now putting the vote in respect of those three mentioned committees. Oh, sorry, no, I'm not. Councillor Byrom. 1, 2 and 3. So Councillor Hull was just moving in respect of those three committees, and we're doing that because councillors had a little bit more notice about who they were and the summary of their CVs and so on, so there's been a bit more information, whereas somebody we interviewed tonight, obviously there's not as much information, but we can deal with that. So if there are no more questions, I now put the vote for those three. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's unanimous. Thank you. Let's deal... look, it may be better to just deal with the timetable issue first. I'm hoping that's going to be straightforward. So if we look at the printed recommendation 4, as it is now, that's the meeting schedule. Now, I know there's been quite a bit of chopping and changing, not necessarily in consultation with elected members about this. So I take it that when we adopt this, that the reference will be to the strategy committee, not the strategic issue committee. Staff will take that on board. And now what about the timing? Can I have a report? Ms. McKenzie, do you know about that? Have all of the issues been resolved with elected members?
Through the Chair, there's been some discussion about the timing. From what I've heard so far, and I've undertaken some consultation with staff, and they're happy to work with what members want, is that members want to remain with the original timetable that was adopted last year. So this would be... there would be no decision made on this.
So this is what we have in front of us tonight is the alternate timetable. So, and just please just remind me, Ms. McKenzie, did we actually make a decision on that original timetable?
Yes, you did.
So if we just leave that as it is, then elected members are happy, and we're just hoping that everyone then works around that timetable. Councillor Vlescu, question?
The timetable, is that something we can revisit later? So if... there is some flexibility with elected members because obviously there's some issues with staff compatibility. Is that something we can look at later if those problems can be resolved to accommodate that without disturbing anything?
Through the Chair, I think the issue is what's come up is that many of the members have set their own timetables based on the resolution from last year, so they've gone out and made commitments on those dates when they didn't have meetings. If at any stage an amendment can be made, but we'll do our best to continue with the timetable that was adopted last year and work the resources around it.
Clarify, because if in 6 months it isn't a problem, then if everyone's happy, we can look at it again. But obviously, we're trying to accommodate for everyone.
Yes, the timetable is set for 12 months, so we'll have to revisit it again at the end of the year in any event.
I just had a discussion to one side with Mr. Skull. He thinks it'll be fine. So we don't need to move a further motion in relation to timetabling. In relation to the Urban Planning Committee, your selection panel have interviewed several people. We haven't been able to achieve a unanimous recommendation, but... I think that Councillor Telfer might be putting a motion tonight about the candidate we interviewed earlier today. It's always tricky, perhaps unfortunate, if the decision-making of the committee wasn't unanimous, so we'll have an open debate about the suitability of the person, and I just urge everyone to maintain civility. Councillor Valescu, did you have a question?
We have that debate in confidence?
We could go into confidence, yes, because it would affect the personal affairs of the person concerned. So I'm quite more than happy for you to move a motion that we go into confidence. That won't necessarily affect the minutes, but it means we can have the discussion without embarrassment to anyone. And so citing that section of the Local Government Act which refers to the personal affairs of any person, personal and business affairs, in fact, of any person. Councillor Valescu, you're moving that we go into a confidential session. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried by a majority. And so that would be, other than the staff at the front of the meeting, other than management, in other words. But I'd kindly request the people in the gallery to depart for a short time, perhaps 5, 10, 15 minutes. Thank you. And I'll remind members to speak without microphones as well. So someone's looking after the door, and I'll invite Councillor Telfer to move.